Hello and welcome to another episode of SL Radio. And in this week's episode, we speak to SuperSport United midfielder Dean Firmin. Before we got to the interview, here are three interesting things about Dean Firmin.
Okay, always been a Chelsea fan. What else can I tell you? I've completed a degree in sports science. That was a distance learning degree, so I've been doing that. I completed it last year. It took me 4 years to do whilst I was playing. Other things that might be interesting. I was born in Cape Town and I moved to London when I was 5 years old.
All right, we shoot straight to the interview then. Dean Firmin, thank you very much for your time. I noted here that you played youth football for Chelsea and you moved on there. You played for Rangers. Did it ever occur to you that at some point you were going to play for a PSL side? When you were in Europe, did you think that you would play in South Africa?
I didn't really, if I'm honest. I think up until the time I started playing for the national team, there was never really that link. I think no one really knew about me over here. And obviously, if they don't know, they don't come calling. But as soon as I started playing for the national team, it became an every season thing that someone tried to get in contact and see what my availability was or if I was open to offers. So I think from the moment I started playing for the national team and raised a bit of awareness and there suddenly became a little bit of interest, then definitely there was always an option to come back here. And I'm very happy that I chose SuperSport.
You mentioned that there was more than SuperSport as an interested party in your services. Were you surprised at the names that were calling for you? Were they the biggest names in South African football?
I don't want to mention other names. All I can say is that there were talks with there were preliminary talks with kind of agents and clubs, but no one showed the intent that SuperSport did. Stan Matthews, our CEO, flew out twice to the UK to try and get me, and the first time I turned it down because I was just going to the Championship with Doncaster Rovers. And the second time I saw it as a real signal of intent that he would get on a flight within a day of hearing that I was interested in coming, and we sat down, we had contract talks, and that kind of intent really showed me how much he wanted me, and it made my decision very easy.
So he flew in twice. The first time you rejected him, and then he flew again to show that he wants you at SuperSport United.
Yeah, I think that kind of intent is really impressive. I think there's a lot of talk in football which goes on behind the scenes, and until someone actually puts an offer on the table, you never really believe the talks, and it doesn't really mean anything. But Stan showed unbelievable intent. He asked if we were interested. He got the next flight out to London, came and sat down with my family, my fiance, my advisors. And when someone really goes to all that effort to make you feel wanted, it really does impress. So it was it made my decision very easy, as I said.
Yeah, we'll talk about your SuperSport career in a bit because that is going very impressively. But before that, I want to take you back to between 2013 to 2015 when you were playing for Doncaster. At some point, you would have played with Bongani Khumalo there. Do you still remember that period?
Yes, very well.
And what do you think? What was your impression of him as a player from Tottenham Hotspurs to loan to Doncaster? What did you think of him when he played with you?
I had known Bongani from when I first went in the national team, and he was the captain at the time of the national team. We had the same advisor, so there was obviously a link, both playing in the UK and having the same advisor. But Bongs really took me under his wing and helped me integrate with the team, helped me settle, made me feel comfortable, and I'll always respect him for what he did for me when I first came into the national team, because he really made something that was very new for me, something that was very different, very, very easy, and he made me very comfortable. So Bongs as a person is an unbelievable guy, and I've got the utmost respect for him, and really can't say enough for him. When he came to Doncaster, he was great. He really had a good season. He became almost like a fan's favourite. The fans loved him there. I know they really, really liked him there, and he formed a great partnership with the other centre-back that he was playing with. I think What really was a crushing blow was the injury he picked up against, I think it was Brazil, when he dislocated his patella. And that pretty much ruled him out for the rest of the season. And I've got to be honest, he was a huge miss and a huge loss to our team.
All right. No, it's very interesting to know that you actually your relationship with him extended beyond the playing field. That he helped you and he put you under his wing in a way when you guys were playing in Europe. That's very interesting. Now let's talk about Oldham. You were a captain there and you had a good career there and you were quite a fan favorite as well. How was it there? What did you make of your spell there? And then you left them for Doncaster.
Yeah, Oldham was one of my first clubs where I became a first team regular. I'd had a season on loan at Bradford City from Rangers, which was my real first season in a first team setup, and from there Oldham stumped up a bit of money to sign me from Glasgow Rangers. So it was it's a great club. It's a great club. At the moment that they're fighting off relegation, I really hope they survive in League One. But my time there was really a massive learning curve. I think it was a bit of a difficult first season for everyone at the club, and we fought off relegation. But the second season, with the arrival of Paul Dickoff, the ex Man City player, we really came up with something special. He made me captain in the third season. In his second season, my third season, and at the time I think I was 23 or 24, and it was an incredible honour. And to be so young and to be captain was something that I had to learn very quickly on the job, and I was always very grateful of becoming captain. It was a great honour. So my time there was a good one. It ended up in not the best fashion, because I went on loan towards the end of the season to help Doncaster Rovers get promoted when Oldham were kind of in a bit of a relegation battle. So obviously that didn't go down too well with the fans. But at the time, I believe that was the correct decision for my career, and I definitely stand by that decision.
All right, let's talk about you, because eventually after you stay in Europe, you eventually then moved to South Africa. There was a lot of things being spoken about, a lot of clubs being linked with you, but you've just cleared that up with me now, that one team was very serious about your services, and that was SuperSport United, and you fitted in like a glove immediately, and even now you guys are doing well. Tell me about the contrast between where you were from to where you are now, the leagues, League 2, League 1, versus Championship as well, versus PSL level.
It's very difficult to compare the levels because the games are so different. The way the games are played, I think what you find is in the UK, it's definitely more physical. It's probably more relentless. You're playing Saturday, Tuesday almost every week. There's a lot more games. So it's very hard to compare the two. It's a question that I'm always asked. Well, what I can say is that playing over here, whilst it's different, it's an exciting league. It's an enjoyable league. A lot of the games are kind of end to end, action packed, very open. And it's a league that I've had to adapt to. And if I'm honest, it was difficult at the start. The team wasn't in the best of form. I can't deny that individually I wasn't in the best of form, and it was difficult. So I can't deny that. But I think as time's gone by and I've got used to the pace of the league, I've got used to how the game's played over here. We've definitely improved both individually and collectively.
And let's talk about the impact of Coach Stuart Baxter. I recently spoke to him. We had a bit of a chat about the Championship, and he was very coy. He didn't want to say outright that he's gunning for it, but there's no denying the fact that you guys have 18 matches unbeaten in the league, and you are 2 points off Cape Town City, and you're in third place. To me, that indicates a team that is serious about winning the title. Let's talk about that. What is your impression about where you are in the log, and what do you guys want to achieve at the end of the season?
Yeah, there's no point denying that we're trying to win the league. Of course we are. We're in the mix. We're in the chasing pack. And we'll be fighting to the very end to try and win the league. So it's a very exciting league. I think there's five teams who are all kind of vying for that, for the title. And I think it's going to go down to the wire for us. We're on a great unbeaten run, but it doesn't mean anything. It just means that hopefully we can carry it on. It means we're difficult to beat, but we've definitely drawn too many games. And that's something that in our final 11 games, we're going to have to go all out and try and win as many as possible, because the draws, with the race being so tight, the draws certainly don't help too much. So I think that's something we're going to have to try and do in the final third of the season in order to win the league.
And we are certainly in the final third now, with around 11 matches, some teams on 10 matches to go. You mentioned draws, and I noted that on one of the past few games, the second last game that you guys played, you scored. It was about to be a draw if you hadn't scored, and you guys won 1-0. Just talk to me about your personal development, whether or not you think you've been better over the years. Have you improved? How have you improved, if you have improved?
Yeah, I definitely think I'm improving. I think I'm always improving. I think the day I stop improving or wanting to improve is the day that might as well call it a day. I think I'm with a coach at the moment who, if you can't learn from him, then you've got to question yourself. Every day we're learning something new. We're doing video work where we're watching how we're playing. We're trying to improve both individually and collectively. So if you can't improve under this coach, you're never going to improve. So I think we're all very, very lucky to have a coach as good as Stuart Baxter. And I think if you look at all individuals, you can see a vast improvement, and which has helped us to improve collectively as a team, and which is why we're fighting on all fronts at the moment. So I think personally, I'm really enjoying my football. I think that's always a good sign. I think I'm enjoying going in every day, training hard to make myself better. I think if you had to speak to most players within our team, they would echo that. So it's a very healthy place to be in at the moment, and long may it continue.
All right. And before I'm tempted to talk about Bafana, because you were at some point our captain and a fan favorite, but we'll get there. I just want to talk about you at age 29. At some point, you're going to be 29 in June this year. And let's talk about what is Dean Foreman thinking about in terms of his future. Does Dean Foreman want to go back to Europe? Does Dean Foreman see himself playing for any other team in the next two or three seasons within South African borders?
Football is an amazing sport. It can take you anywhere. If I'm completely honest with you, 2 years ago, I didn't think I'd be in South Africa, and now I've never been happier. So you never know what's around the corner, and it's very hard to to map out your immediate future. But what I can say at the moment is I'm incredibly happy at SuperSport. I certainly don't see myself at any other club in the PSL. With regards to going back to Europe, I will definitely be going back to Europe. That's not in question. My fiance is from England. I've grown up my whole life in England. My family's over there. So we definitely will be going back to the UK. When is a bit of a different story, but at the moment I'm under contract at SuperSport. We're both extremely happy here, and we're definitely not missing our so-called home too much. So for now we're both very happy. As I say, it's very hard to discuss your immediate future, because you never know what's around the corner. And but whilst I'm at SuperSport enjoying my football, then there's no reason to think about it too much.
All right. And when you made your debut for the national team, Bafana Bafana, in 2012, were you surprised by the fact that the crowd received you so much? They had a special chant for you, specifically whenever the ball gets to you, you know that they're gonna chant. Were you surprised by how you were received by the followers?
I couldn't believe it. I was in shock. My initial thoughts of joining up the national team was to give it my all, to give it everything. If I'm not good enough, then I'll put it down to a great experience. And it will be something that I can tell my grandkids one day, hopefully. But the way it's panned out was incredible. The reaction and the warm kind of welcome almost that I've had from the people here has been something incredibly special. And it's something that I'll cherish definitely for the rest of my career and probably for the rest of my life.
And they think of you very highly, the fans, and you've had your highs in terms of scoring for Bafana Bafana in World Cup qualifiers and participating in African Cup of Nations. And you've had your lows as well, because in 2013, when we were playing against Mali, you were one of the guys that missed a penalty. Now, tell me, for you, do you still think that you are as important as you were in the past few years for Bafana Bafana?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, thanks for reminding me of that penalty. No, I think I've definitely got a role to play for Bafana. I think that whoever takes over or whoever makes the selection, they know what they get from me. They get someone who's reliable, someone who can always come in and do a job. I may not be the most flamboyant of players, but I feel I'm very disciplined, which allows the more flamboyant attacking players to go and do their thing. So I do think I have a role, and I hope that whoever comes in and takes over the job will see that. And as I've always said, it's the greatest honour to represent your country. And whilst I've still got that opportunity, I'd love to do it as many times as possible.
And were you sad to see Coach Sheikh Mashaba go?
Yeah, it's always disappointing to see someone lose their job, especially midway through a campaign. You don't see that too often, and after a stunning victory against Senegal. So it's a bit of a strange one. We're coming off the back of a great result, and now all of a sudden we've got to start from scratch again. But I hope whoever comes in, the players are very receptive to the coach's ideas and tactics very quickly, because we have to hit the ground running. There's no time to waste, really. We've got Nigeria coming up in our first AFCON qualifier. We've obviously got the next two World Cup qualifiers, and there's no time to have a settling in period. It's we've got to hit the ground running. So I think that's what's going to be vital. And as players, we have to make sure that we're ready for whoever comes in, and we take on board what he has to say as soon as possible.
All right. And in your opinion, was the dismissal of Sheikh Mashaba by SAFA leave us with any realistic chance of qualifying for the 2018 World Cup?
Very much. Very much. I don't know who's coming in or what's going to happen, but we're in a very good position in the group. We've got two games against Cape Verde coming up, who've obviously, I think, lost their first two games. So those are two games that are hugely important for us. And we're in a strong position at the moment. So I don't think changing the coach, as long as the players receive a new coach from day one and really hit the ground running and work extra hard to make sure that we're taking on what the new coach is trying to implement into the team, then there's definitely no reason why we can't qualify. I think we've got some terrific players in our team. It looks like a few of our players abroad are doing well and come back from injury, in particular Bongani Zungu at the moment. So I think there's definitely reason to be optimistic. And I think we have to carry on from where we left off under Sheikhs. And as I say, hit the ground running with whoever takes over.
And what would you like to take over for Fana Fana?
That's the million-dollar question. I think I can only say what I've read in the press, and all I can say is whoever comes in, we as players have to get right behind him and really form a good partnership and a good understanding, because there's no time to waste. So we have to make sure whoever comes in that we accept it, and it's the decision by SAFA, and we get on with our job, and that is winning games of football.
All right. Thank you very much for your time, Dean. I'm about to quiz you now before I let you go. Hopefully you'll be able to get the questions. There's only three questions about the PSL. So my first question is, which team has scored the highest number of goals in the PSL so far this season?
Someone's on 31. We're on 30. Someone's on 31.
On 33 specifically.
Is it 33? Is it
Wits? Well done. That's correct. Wits has the highest number of goals in the PSL so far this season. And the top goal scorer in the PSL, how many goals does that individual have?
11, I believe.
All right. There are two individuals on 11 goals. Well done for that. Lebogang Manyama and Tendai Ndoro has 11 goals. And then lastly, which coach Who is the coach of Maritzburg United at the moment?
Of Maritzburg United is Roger de Saar.
All right, thank you very much. That's 100%. Well done. Dean Fairman, thank you very much for your time, man.
Okay, thanks very much.
And that's it for the week. Hope you enjoyed the episode with Dean Fairman. Catch us on another episode of SR Radio next week.